I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and WNYC.org. And it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. Yesterday, Brian spoke with Ruben Neverte, a nationally syndicated columnist and CNN contributor, about pre-convention politics and two Latino politicians now on the national stage. San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro will be a keynote speaker at the Democratic Convention, and Texas Republicans have just nominated Ted Cruz as a Senate candidate in that state. Brian asked Ruben if it was true that neither of these Latino politicians spoke fluent Spanish, and here's what Ruben said.
Yeah, they don't speak, I think, Spanish as well as some people would like, but you are talking about a community of people in Latinos in America, 52 million of us, 80% of us speak English or some combination of English and Spanish. So very few of us are Spanish language dominant, and that's another thing that isn't typically known.
So that got us thinking about how important it is or isn't for Hispanic politicians to speak Spanish. And we're opening up the phone lines to talk about this. What do you think? Do you think Latino leaders need to speak Spanish fluently in order to speak to and for their constituencies? Phone number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. On the national stage, both presidential candidates are using varying amounts of Spanish to reach the coveted Latino vote. Which language do you think they should use? And when your mayor or city council member speaks in Spanish, do you feel like they're speaking to you? The phone number to call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also go to the website, of course, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehr Show. Joining me now to talk about all this is Herson Barrero, columnist at El Diario La Prensa and columnist at BarreroReport.com. Welcome back to WNYC, Herson.
Buenos días, Ana.
How
Sale.
You doing?
Your name, Sale, would be pronounced Sale.
Sale, Ana
Ruben
Sale.
Ruben is not Ruben. It's Ruben with an accent over the E.
So if we get into the technicalities,
Mr. Navarrete should have corrected you in saying the pronunciation of his name, which is Ruben, accent over the E. But those are the small things that we get into when we've all become experts, Ana. So good morning to you and to all your listening audience.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here. So you are a fluent Spanish speaker yourself?
I am fully bilingual. Thank God my maternal grandmother, Julia Rivera Rivera, decided that as much as she wanted Puerto Rico to become the 51st state of the United States of America, she refused to learn English. So we only spoke Spanish when I came here at the age of 4.5 years old, uh-huh. And I'm a young 60 right now, and I'm ready to go because this is, you know, for to have a person say that it is a prerequisite for a person whose last name is Cruz or Rivera or Gonzalez or Castro, that they need to speak the language. I think that that's really, I don't know, it's stretching the facts. We have people, Herman Badillo, who it's a little, I'll go through the three generations, uh-huh. Herman Badillo, Fernando Ferrer, and Joel Rivera. Joel Rivera being the most recent member of the city council, majority whip of the city council. Joel Rivera couldn't put two Spanish words that make sense together.
Not even two
Ferreira,
words.
Fernando Ferrer, borough president, didn't want Spanish spoken in his office. There was a big raucous that we covered. Most of the media actually ignored it, but at the time he was borough president, he gave a directive, no Spanish spoken. And you know why? Because his Spanish wasn't that up to par. He knows he's improved when he ran for mayor. And Herman Badillo, who came here at the age of 11 from Caguas, who's now young 82, actually, he's still around. He still practices law. Herman, at one point, became so American, quote, unquote, that he forgot his Spanish. He had to go back when he was back in politics to be able to learn the proper Spanish. So it's kind of silly. I don't want to be offensive to Ruben Navarrete, but the fact is, when he uses the figure of 52 million Latinos and the majority speak English, he's wrong. If you just take a look at New York City, not just in Spanish, but other languages. I think it's wrong for him to make that kind of statement influx of undocumented people coming in who are predominantly Spanish-speaking.
The reason
El Diario exists, the reason Univision, Telemundo, Spanish radio stations, Spanish television, is because we grow in numbers, and most of us, a large majority of the newcomers, are just Spanish-dominant. They will eventually become bilingual, hopefully, and some may be as privileged as I am. Yo te puedo hablar español, te puedo hablar inglés, en una conversación muy natural. Yo leo, escribo los dos idiomas.
So we have some numbers from the Pew Hispanic Center. 38% of Hispanic adults are Spanish dominant. Another 38% are bilingual. And the rest, 24%, are English dominant. So about a quarter are English dominant.
And the Pew Research Center, with all due respect to their research, I can tell you that does not include undocumented people because they are not polled.
And do you think that this, you know, it sounded like you were saying for you personally, it's not a prerequisite for a Hispanic politician to be fluent in Spanish, but you also think it's important that there be Spanish outreach to Spanish speakers. It's like that's how you sort of come down on this. Is that right?
Well, I think that, look, the nation is going through a transformation. There is a new America in the making. And the new America, I don't want some of the people that get all paranoid and actually xenophobic on the rest of us. The fact is that there is a new America in the making. It isn't just Spanish-speaking people. Look at what's happening in the world. Look at the influx. Look at Queens. Look at New York City. We have people from the entire world. It isn't just at the UN that the entire world is represented. There are different languages. A new language may be spoken as we speak, that we've never heard of. So the fact is the new America be made, which is, you know, the original concept of the creation of this nation, brought many faiths together. So I think that a prerequisite of speaking Spanish should not qualify to be more sensitive to Latinos. If you're fully bilingual or fully Spanish-speaking or both English and Spanish dominant, like I am, if you're going to be a public official, we want the services that everybody else wants, whether you be Italian, a Jew, a Black, whether you're Chinese or you're from Guatemala. We want the same kind of service. What we want is truth from politicians. Let's start with real language of communication, truth.
Let's bring in Ralph from Astoria. What do you have to say, Ralph? You're on WNYC.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I'm what's affectionately known as a New York Rican, you know, born over here and raised in New York City by Puerto Rican parents. And I'm bilingual. And I take pride on that. And it always makes me sad when I hear that, you know, the generation that's coming up doesn't speak the mother language. And the reason for that is because I think, honestly, that's anti-American. Hmm. And it's anti-American in the sense that this is a country of immigrants. And it's been able to achieve what it's achieved historically because of a multiplicity of ideas and a variety of cultures. And that's what's been our richness. And right now, you know, to hear this, that, you know, the generations coming up, some of them, you know, don't learn the mother language, I think it's a big loss, even though I agree with your guest that there's more of us that do speak both languages. And I'm proud of that.
Exactly.
Because in losing a mother language, I don't care where you're from, you know, Africa, Nigeria, if your background is French, if you lose that mother language, we become the poorer for it as a result.
Well, Ralph, let me tell you the story of Julian Castro. He is a politician we're all going to meet during the Democratic National Convention. He's the keynote speaker there. He's the mayor of San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fluent Spanish speaker. And there was a profile in the New York Times Magazine that he actually brought in a Spanish tutor in mm-hmm. order to speak his first name correctly, Julian as opposed to Julian.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think it's a challenge. I think it's a challenge for the Latino population in our country to get our antennas up, get our ears up, and recover, our mother language. Because if you lose a part of yourself, if you lose a part of your history in the part of what this country is and its mm-hmm. multiplicity and variety of cultures, you know, then you are losing intelligence. That comes from those particular subset stories and cultures, you know, that enrich us, you know. So it's not just that a certain population is losing. We all lose, you know, as a result, you know. So we become diminished. We do not grow.
And he's going to be speaking on stage, Democratic National Convention, first Hispanic keynote speaker.
Uh-huh.
Does that get at a sort of authenticity issue for you? Does that concern you that he's not a fluent Spanish speaker and he's the first Latino?
Hey, you know, I'll accept it. I'll receive it. You know, your guest speaker was talking about Herman Badillo and how later on, you know, and I know about Herman Badillo, you know, how later on, you know, he lost some of his identity, you know. I'll accept it, you know. And it's easier said than done, you know, because when your parents teach you Spanish, in my case, they made a point of teaching us Spanish. But I also understand that when you go, you leave, you know, your apartment and you go into public school and everything, the predominant language is English. So it's hard. It's easier said than done, and I'm not denying that. But, you know, there you can make an extra effort at it and find ways of challenging our youth to, you know, this is a point of pride. It, you know, as far as careers is concerned, hey, this is also an advantage. Because we live in a bilingual world, you can get an edge if you speak two languages as far as employment is concerned, for many reasons. You know, it's a plus, you know. So I accept and I'm proud that he's going to be the keynote speaker. You know, I'll be hearing him with pride, you know. But at the same time, it's also a challenge. I mean, you know, poor guy. He's got to get a tutor. You know, so that he can pronounce his name?
That's a cheap shot. Come on.
Thanks for calling in, Ralph. Herson, let's turn to non-Hispanic politicians who probably have tutors of their own and just how it kind of hits you when they try to speak Spanish. Here's President Obama speaking to the National Association of Latino Elected Officials earlier this year.
It is good to be back at Naleo. Qué placer estar aquí con tantos amigos.
Big cheers there. And then Mitt Romney's been using his son, Craig, who's a fluent surrogate. Here's Craig.
Él tiene la experiencia que necesitamos ahora en nuestro país para el futuro. Y sé que será un presidente excelente. Muchas gracias.
Do you think it's more important for non-Hispanic politicians to get out there and show that they're willing to speak Spanish?
I think it would be prudent for this nation, for all of us, to engage in learning another language. I know two already fluently speak them, but I want to learn another one, and I am going to learn another one. There's nothing wrong with the more knowledge you have. You have an appreciation of the an understanding of the language. Learning a language helps you understand the culture. So, for example, in the case of Mr. Castro and Mr. Cruz, if you actually go and speak before an audience, a national audience, if you can put together some words, and you know, it's sad that he has to go for a tutor. Shame on his parents. Shame on his family that didn't want to. But then there's also the pressure that many had, and some of us rejected, to be able to take that push from anyone and have the last name Borrero, said Borrero, and not Bureau or Barrero. Mm-hmm. So you have that kind of thing. I think that, you know, I agree with your previous caller, Ralph, the first caller. But also with regards to Michael Rubens Bloomberg, I appreciate the fact that Miguelito, I use the word Miguelito, diminutive, for different reasons. I explained it to him once. But the fact that Miguelito he's taking the effort. At his age, you applaud that. It's welcome. The others, if they want to learn it, they better learn just a few passing words, because if they get to a point that they're going to engage in the 2013 mayoral race, the citywide race, you can rest assured that many of us will actually engage them in answering a full series of questions. The Q&A will turn into Spanish. Entonces, ¿qué van a hacer entonces? They're not going to be able to have a fluent, coherent understanding of what it is that we're asking, and they won't be able to explain themselves. So it's cute. It's nice. We appreciate the effort. Applaud it. But I don't think it's a prerequisite for a Latino, Latina, to learn Spanish in order to run for office. It would be nice. It would really make us feel proud. They would be able to communicate and take serious. But I tell you what, you put a clip from both Mr. Romney and President Obama. So Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama, I wish we could have at least half-hour debate on just in Spanish about the questions that we want to ask them about immigration. See how sensitive they really are, how serious they are about the so-called powerful Latino vote.
Well, we have some. You mentioned Mayor Bloomberg. We have some sound of Mayor Bloomberg speaking Spanish. Let's take a listen to that.
We'll take some questions, but first let me just try to summarize for our Spanish-speaking audience. Los vehículos que fueron abandonados en las calles durante la tormenta nos han dificultado la limpieza, pero estamos haciendo todo lo posible y estamos utilizando todos los recursos que tenemos.
So you cheer on Mayor Bloomberg there. He sounds a little tired, and maybe that he has a cold. That was back during Hurricane Irene.
He sounds
but he
like
does...
Frank Perdue, and I remember Frank Perdue was selling chicken in Spanish. Es su pollo favorito, so we could... Come on. But I appreciate it.
But you're saying the effort is what matters.
No, of course. And of course, he was reading from a script that was prepared. I think that, look, I'll make a confession. I've engaged in some Spanish with the mayor, not on the record. And he's better than what he sounds.
All right. Well, that's Gerson Barrero, columnist at El Diario La Prensa. I need to work on my pronunciation there, Gerson.
Sí, por favor, te voy a dar clase más tarde.
Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great Friday.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Anna Sale. We'll be right back.